Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
I am healed. Tell them you are healed. Tell them we are healthy and whole in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Turning to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. While you're turning there, I just want to remind you to keep hope alive in Jesus' name. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and verse 6, and then we'll also be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. And this is what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are," somebody say we are healed. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Somebody say were healed. I believe there's a big difference between are and were. And the thing that happened between Isaiah's prophetic declaration and Peter's looking back, his retrospective declaration, is the cross of Calvary and Jesus on that cross, stripes on his back, bleeding, not only redeemed us, praise God, not only made a way of forgiveness, praise God, but we were healed by the stripes. And remember, not just a physical healing, a spiritual healing, a mental healing, a whatever that healing, emotional healing, whatever that healing is, it happened in Jesus' name. I am healed, I am healthy, I am whole. Praise God, you may be seated. Last week we talked 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The writer writes, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The last thing we talked about is the three things that believers must do to receive healing. He said, if my people, and the writer here is verbatim sharing what God has said. I think it's important that when we come to church that you don't hear a pastor's opinion, but you hear what God has said. And I don't want to kid you and tell you that I am a prophet. I believe that we all can be prophetic, but I'm a pastor more than I am a prophet. And so I don't want to tell you what God told me to tell you. I want us to be able to declare 90% of the time what God has said. And here is what the writer said God said. "If my people," that's a big if, "which are called by my name," and that name in the Old Testament, Yeshua, in the New Testament, Jesus, "shall humble themselves," that's posture, "and pray," that's what we do. So posture is how we approach God. And then he said, "and pray," that's what we do, "and seek my face and turn from their wicked way." So prayer is seeking the face of God. Turning from our wicked ways is when we pivot away. We are pivoting away from something and we are pivoting and focusing on something else. A lot of times what the enemy loves to do with health is he loves to mess with our health, because if he can get our eyes on our mess, we get our eyes off of Jesus. And so when we pivot, what we are doing is God, I'm no longer going to look at what is wrong in my life, but in turn, I'm going to put my focus and my faith back on Jesus. That's why I love this midweek service. We used to call it halftime or a midweek pick me up. Because I don't know about you, but the devil doesn't just fight me on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. And so I love Wednesday nights because I love to come into the house of God and we all get postured, praise God. We all spend some time in the presence of God in prayer and worship. But I believe Wednesday night becomes a great pivoting point in our life. That whatever's happened on Monday and Tuesday and during the day on Wednesday, this is a chance for us to pivot and look away from the things of this world and look back to Jesus. But I want to tell you, more than a Sunday or a Wednesday expression, we need to keep our posture and our prayers, and we need to continually keep our focus on Jesus. And so he said, when you posture, when you pray, and when you pivot, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin. I love this because you know what healing really is? Healing, I love this. Healing is when God brings heaven to you. Because the Bible says this about heaven. It says, when we get to heaven, there will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. We won't even have tears or cry, because crying is a result of something that we are going through. Have you ever been hurt so bad that you cried? Or you've ever been, come on, even men that don't like to talk about it, even if you weren't boo-hooing, tears stream down your face because of some of the pain that we endure. And so healing is simply this. Healing is the promise of God for our future. Heaven, he said, how about I bring heaven to your situation? And the way that we are going to be in heaven where there is no pain, there is no... He said, I'm going to bring you a little bit of heaven here on earth. Can I encourage somebody? You don't have to wait, but God's presence, which is what heaven is, God will bring his presence in such a way that healing becomes a guarantee, and sickness and infirmity cannot stay in the presence of God. He said, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. One letter changes from the word heal or hear to heal. If we want God to heal us, God has to hear us, and we have to hear from God. Here's the thing. God hears every cry from your life. Whether it's prayed in an alternate living way or in a 5-minute break at your job, your living room, a boardroom, a dorm room, a hospital room, a courtroom, Jesus hears your cry. But listen to what he says in verse 15 or verse 14. He says, then will I hear from heaven. If we are hearing from heaven, it's not talking about God hearing us. If we hear from heaven, it is about us hearing from God. So many times, church, we are so concerned with being healed and not so concerned with hearing what God is saying. Here's the thing, church, you'll never be healed unless you hear. And a lot of us are trying to bypass conversing and hearing, and that's where we get the phraseology, I've come from a word from God, and we'll get to that in just a moment. It's not just receiving a word from God, it is hearing the word from God and acting on the word that you've heard that is literally going to bring a manifestation of healing power into your life. Verse 15, which we hardly ever read, verse 15 in context with verse 14, it says, now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now it is reverted back to what God sees and what God hears. Can I tell you that wherever you pray the prayer of faith, wherever you posture yourself, wherever you pivot and get your focus back on Jesus, and God hears you and you hear him, you are in the perfect place for a miracle, and you are in the perfect place for a healing. Can I talk to somebody today? God is going to hear you tonight, and you are going to hear God tonight. And I think Living Way at 7:55 tonight is a perfect place for you to receive your healing. But I've got great news for you. Tomorrow morning when you wake up at your address, that's the perfect place for you to receive the healing of God. And when you show up to work tomorrow, that's a perfect place for God's healing power to show up. Healed people heal people. Healed people heal people. So when I talk about God healing at work, and that's a perfect place of healing, it is a perfect place of healing for you. But can I just get our net a little bigger tonight, church, and tell you that God wants to heal you tonight so that you can heal tomorrow? God wants us to receive ours tonight before 8:30 so that when we get home tonight, on the way home, we can make a phone call tomorrow morning wherever we are. Now we can distribute what we have now received, because you and I both know you cannot give what you don't have, and you cannot lead someone someplace that you have not yet inhabited. And so I want to lead from the front. And so if I want God to heal people around me, God, I need you to heal my situation. We are quick to say hurt people, and that may be true, but if hurt people can hurt people, then healed people can also heal people. My eyes shall be open, my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I'm always surprised that people are so quick to discount the Old Testament and embrace the New Testament. If you've heard me talk about the red letters before, and I think I said it on a Sunday a couple Sundays ago, but the Word of God is the Word of God. Genesis to Revelation, it's all the Word of God. And so when you understand that, and you understand that healing is not just a New Testament practice, healing was before Jesus came to this earth, because Jehovah God was there. He was providing healing. He was healing the sick. He was putting up a hedge of protection, not only healing the sick, but keeping the people of God healthy. And so let's look in the healing in the Old Testament. There's three things that we're going to walk out over the next at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. We're going to look at the healing in the Old Testament. If we get there tonight, we'll go a little further. We'll talk about healing in the ministry of Jesus and what that looked like. But then we will also talk about the disciples and the apostles after Jesus ascended into heaven, what healing looked like after Jesus went to the cross. But let's go all the way back to the Old Testament. The first mention of the Lord's healing power is found in Genesis when he answered Abraham's prayer and healed Abimelech's household. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis is the beginning. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And at the very onset from creation, from the fall on, it is God's will to heal. So don't let anybody tell you that healing stopped in the New Testament. It started in the Old Testament, continued in the New Testament, and is still able, and God is still able and willing. It is still for us today. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants so that they could have children. Just to give you just a little bit of context here, this is after Abraham has lied about his wife and being his sister, and there's been a curse against Abimelech's house. And so after Abraham gets everything right, Abraham prays for Abimelech. The one thing that I love to talk about when I see Genesis chapter 20, verse 17 is the first healing we see in all of the Bible is not Abraham praying for himself. It is Abraham praying for someone else. Not only is Abraham praying for someone else, but Abraham is praying for somebody that just a few moments before was an enemy of his. How many of you know if you want enemies to become friends, God's going to have to do a work in them and on them? And so Abraham said, I am a man of faith, and because I'm a man of faith, God, this is what I want you to do. I want you to heal Abimelech of the curse that has been brought to his house because of what he's done against the people of God. Not only do I want you to heal Abimelech, I want you to heal his wife, and I want you to heal his woman servants. Now check this out at the end of verse 17. So that they could have children. Just take note of that. Verse 18, for the Lord God had caused all the women to be infertile because of what had happened with Abraham's wife, Sarah. So just make a mental note, circle it in your Bible, highlight it on the app. Infertile, infertility, this is the NLT translation. He said he healed them not only of what was ailing them, but he gave them the ability to produce. Your healing is not just for now. God wants to heal you now because of what is in you that he wants to bring out of you for your tomorrow and the next day and the next year. Many years later, when Abraham's descendants became a nation, God promised to remove sickness from their midst if they served him. Remember, it is God's will to heal you, and we are going all the way back from the beginning of time. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. You must serve only the Lord your God. You must serve only the Lord your God. Here's another if. If you do, I will bless you with food and water. Somebody say provision. And I will protect you from illness. Somebody say protection. So he said, if you serve only the Lord your God, he said, I'm going to bless you with food and water, and I'm going to keep every illness from you. Serving God leads to safety. When you serve God, you will be safe. See, I believe so, and when I say serve God, let us not bring it down to the most basic of serving, meaning you're running a camera tonight, or you held a greeter sign tonight, or you held a microphone tonight. That is a form of serving God, but serving God is so much bigger. Serving God with our life. God, I'm serving you. God, everything that you want me to do, I am going to do my part. You are going to do your part to bring it to pass. He said, if you serve the Lord your God, I will bless you with food and water. I will protect you from illness. Serving God leads to safety. Serving produces provision and protection. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. So here's what happens. If you do anything but serve Christ singularly, check this out. If you do anything else than serve God singularly, safety is not promised. Provision is not promised. The necessities of life aren't even promised, food and water. That is when we talk about serving God, there is no more than one way to heaven. There is one way, and it is Jesus Christ. I serve Jesus and Jesus only. I serve in singularity because of this. If I don't serve God, there is no safety. However, if I try to serve God in something else, there is no safety. And so when I say, Jesus, I serve you, he knows from my heart of hearts and your heart of hearts, when he makes that statement, when she makes that statement, they are saying something to me that they're not saying to anyone else. The problem with a lot of believers is we're trying to have two marriages. And the problem with two marriages is there is always going to be jealousy. And the Bible says that the God that we serve is a jealous God. Meaning, I'm not going to share you with anybody. I'm not going to share my time with anybody. I'm not going to share my resource. I want a relationship with you, which on a Wednesday night, it becomes so crystal clear that 99% of the people in this room, you threw some things off to the left and right about 6:30 tonight, and you said, I'm going to the house of the Lord because I only have eyes for Jesus. And I believe that when I show up, it is a way for me to say, God, I love you. God, I serve you, and in that serving there is safety. I'm not serving two things. I'm only serving you. He said, I'll bring provision and protection. Provision means that God will give you what you need. Healing is always a need. Write that down. Healing is always a need. A car is a want. A raise and more money is a want. And I'm here to tell you, God will give you what you want sometimes. He is a God that blesses, a God that favors. But you've got to be able to make that column and say, no, healing is not a want, it is a necessity. Because I have to be healed and healthy and whole if I am going to be the ambassador God wants me to be. If I'm going to do what God wants me to do, I can't do that from a place of sickness, from a place of lack, from a place of less than. And so provision means that God will give to you what you need. In this case, when we talk about provision, God will heal you. But this is what I love about God. God will not only heal you, we move from provision to protection, meaning this, God will keep you healed. Can I encourage you? Let's open up our praise a little bit and not just thank God for the time he healed us, but thank God for every healthy day we've had since. God, I thank you for every day I didn't have to go to the ER. God, I thank you for every day I haven't had to take medicine. God, I thank you for every day that I woke up and I wasn't having trouble with my back, wasn't having trouble with arthritis. God, I thank you for, Lord, all the healing and health that you brought me. But God, I thank you for the wholeness that I have lived in for most of my existence. So verse 25, he said, you must serve the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. Remember, we're talking about from the very beginning of time, it is God's will to heal. Remember, I told you to circle and to highlight in Genesis chapter 20 when God said when he healed Abimelech, he healed the ladies, the women from infertility. Here we are in the next book in Exodus, verse 26, there will be no miscarriages. Now, I know in the Old Testament, they're talking about a physical birth, a physical infirmity, barrenness, a physical miscarriage. And maybe I am talking to somebody who's been wanting a baby. And you've had a miscarriage, or maybe you haven't even got to that point. It has just not happened. Can I tell you, it is God's will to heal every part of your life. And if it is your desire to have a family, praise God, I believe that God is touching right now, and not to get too graphic, but I believe that God is taking ovaries in his hand. He's removing cysts in the name of Jesus. He is touching uterus in the name. There are people in there, the doctor said it can never happen. You don't even have the parts in you anymore for that to happen. And I'm here to tell you, God doesn't need a doctor's approval to bring the promise into your life. So I'm talking to somebody physically, but I know I'm talking to a lot of people spiritually that we have miscarried what God has given us to carry, but those days of miscarriage are over, and you are going to carry to full term, praise God, what God has called you to carry, and what the devil thought he had stopped, God said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. And can I just encourage somebody? The devil stole one from you, but God's got favor in the form of twin anointing and twin favor and twin outpouring and twin appointments for you. There will be no miscarriages. Now, let me just remind you, this is not a word for one woman. This is for the nation of Israel. Millions of women walked out of Egypt. So when he says there's not going to be any miscarriages, he didn't say we're going to cut that number in half. He said every woman who gets pregnant 9 months later is going to deliver that baby. None of them are going to be aborted. None of them are going to be miscarried. None of them are going to be stillborn. Every woman who gets pregnant, can I just declare, my prayer is that everybody in this room would live at a level of health and wholeness, that everything that God drops in your spirit, praise God, in a Living Way service or in your personal prayer time, every promise of God, it is not going to fall to the ground. The devil's not going to steal it. I prophetically say that 9 months from today, everything that God has dropped in us, we are going to bring it to life in Jesus' name. There will be no miscarriages. There will be no infertility. So those that have lost babies, he said, that's not going to happen anymore. But then he goes on to say, those that have never even gotten the distance to have a miscarriage, he said, you're about to bring forth babies, and everything that I want you to do, you will now be able to do, and I will give you long, full lives. I love this. He is talking to women who have not been able to have a baby. And he's not only talking about the next 9 months. He's not even talking about them decorating a nursery. Come on, church. He's not even talking about first day of pre-K. He's not even talking about kinder graduation. He's not even talking about their 13th birthday party. He's not even talking about them driving a car. He said, the babies that I'm getting ready to bring out of you are going to live long, full lives. That means they're going to do what I created them to do. And what comes out of you in the next season, Living Way, is going to be long and full. It is going to be a season of productivity. It is going to be a season of production. There's going to be things that happen out of this church that have never happened before, all because we said, God, heal me so what you bring out of me, God, can do what you called it to do. Somebody say, that's for me in Jesus' name. Genesis 20, Exodus 23, talking about it's God's will to heal from the beginning of time. Healing in both of these passages we've broke down tonight. Healing is directly tied to fertility. You thought that the devil wanted to kill you just to get rid of you. What if the devil wanted to kill you because of what was about to come out of you? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, it would be easy for the devil to just knock one of us out. But listen, I want to live long enough for my generations and my generation's generations to kick the devil in the teeth for the next 150 years. And so he should have taken us out when he had the chance. Because if you thought I was anointed, you ought to see what's about to come out of me. If you thought the first 49 years of Living Way were something, you should have bankrupted this church when you had the chance in 1988. Because look at what the Lord has done, and what is coming out of this church is going to have a long, full life. But I'm here to tell you, it wasn't just about killing you. He knows I got to kill what's about to come out of them. And if I can stop the mama, I can stop the baby. And if I can stop the mama, I can stop generations. 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 What did Pharaoh try to do to Moses? Tried to kill Moses. Is it because Moses was great? It was because of the plan God had for Moses' life. Moses was a murderer. Moses was a little bit hot-headed. And he said, I got to take out Moses because I know that God's going to use Moses to lead millions of people out of captivity and into the promised land. And if I don't stop Moses, and so he didn't wait till Moses was 15. He didn't wait till Moses was 35. When Moses was just a baby, he tried to kill him and they had to put him in a little basket and send him down the river. I've come to tell you, the devil tried to kill you, not because of you, but because of what you are holding and what you are incubating and what God is getting ready to bring out of you. Provision leads us to protection, which leads us to production. Provision, healing, receiving healing leads us to protection. Staying healed, which leads us to production. The whole reason I am healed and healthy is so that we can be fertile in the kingdom of God. When you walk in obedience, remember he said, if you serve only the Lord your God, when you walk in obedience, you will walk in health. Got a question for you tonight, church. Why go to the doctor if you're not going to do what he tells you to do? I love doctors. I love them. When I find one that I don't like, I find another. When I find one's opinion that I don't like, I find another. And then if they agree, I'm like, all right, that's on me. Brandon, that's on you. But I'll tell you, Pastor Mandy doesn't like going. She, of course, loves the people, but does not like going to the doctor. She's been to more doctors in the last 2 months than she's been in the last 39 years of her life. She doesn't like medication. And she's like, yeah, the medication, she said, the side effects are worse than the symptoms. She said, I don't want to take that. And I told Mandy, I said, and listen, sometimes you got to have a come to Jesus meeting with your spouse. I said, so why are we wasting all this time going from doctor to doctor to doctor if they're going to prescribe you something, tell you you need to go have this test done, and you're not going to do any of it? And she got quiet. And then I called her mama and I said, "Mama, you need to talk to your daughter, praise God." And how many of you know mamas can talk to their kids like a husband can talk to their kids? But there's a lot of us that we go to the Word of God and God tells us what to do. And we don't do it. And then we want to have the audacity to complain about not being healed. When he gave us the prescription for healing and health in his word, and we are not doing it. Why read the word if you're not going to do it? Why pray and God give you an answer if you're not going to do it? You're going to go do whatever you want to do. Why fast if you're going to ignore what the Spirit says? The word of God is complete and replete with every answer and every prescription that you will need to receive health, healing, and abundance in your life. And I want to tell us, we've got to quit. It's not, and listen, unlike all the other prescriptions of this world, it is not a bitter pill to swallow. Everything that God calls us to do, it brings life. It brings life in abundance. It brings immediate relief. Psalm 107 verse 19. "Lord, help," they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. And he sent out his word and healed them. We are restored when we believe and obey his word. Going all the way back to our original text, and I'm going to end with this because I found this so profound when God was dealing with me on Isaiah 53. And as a pastor, been in church 42 years, been preaching now for 24 years. And God continually shows me new things. You know why he continually shows me new things? Because that's the cry of my heart. God, show me something new. Show me more of you. When I read your word, God, show me something that I've never seen before. And I've heard this verse quoted my entire life. We've quoted it at least a dozen times in the last 4 weeks. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." First thing he says is he was wounded for our transgressions. There's a parallel that I want you to take note of. If he was wounded for our transgressions, transgressions were taken care of by Christ on the cross. That's a good place to say amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. I'm grateful that my transgressions have already been taken care of. But then he goes on to say, he was bruised for our iniquities. Our iniquities, church, were taken care of by Christ on the cross. You've got transgressions on this side. You've got iniquities on this side. Transgressions are an eternal thing, internal thing. Iniquities are an external thing having to do with our body, our mind. When we accept Christ and his work on the cross, our transgressions are forgiven. When we accept Christ and the work on his cross, our iniquities are healed. Transgressions internally are forgiven. Iniquities externally, mind and body, are healed. How do we receive forgiveness and redemption for our transgressions and sin? By confessing Christ, who he is, and what he's done. Are we in agreement that the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, and the way that we are forgiven of our transgressions is we confess who Christ is and what he did? That's how we are relieved, forgiven of our transgressions. So I believe if that's how we receive forgiveness and redemption for our transgressions and sin, how do we receive healing and health for our iniquities and sickness? The same way. By confessing Christ, who he is, and what he's done. Who he is and what he's done. Verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," that him being Jesus prophetically, "he's laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." Everybody, real quick, look behind you. You're seeing faces you've never seen before. You've never looked that way during church. You know what's behind you? Your sin, your past. It's in the rearview mirror. You know what's also behind you? The cross. Remember, we are moving from the cross. The power that was on the cross and unleashed through the act of Jesus dying. But if you're like me, I don't have just stuff there. I still deal with stuff here. And I'm going to live long enough, I'm going to deal with some stuff in front of me. But the Bible says the Lord has laid on Jesus all of our iniquity. What's behind us is on Jesus. What we're dealing with today is on Jesus. What we will deal with tomorrow is on Jesus. God the Father laid all of our iniquity on Jesus. Give me one more minute. And Jesus took it to the cross. If we rightly discern Christ and His work, church, you cannot separate the salvation of Christ and the healing of Christ. Because He said on the cross, He said, I was wounded for your transgressions. He said, on the cross, I was bruised for your iniquities. On the cross, I was wounded for that which is internal, the sin problem in our lives. But He said also on the cross, He said, I was wounded for your iniquities. What was going on in your mind? What was going on in your body? The unhealthy things. He said, I was wounded and I was bruised for transgressions and iniquity. I want to tell you that when you look to the cross, it is not only a signal and a sign of forgiveness and redemption. It is a signal and sign of healing and health and wellness. And everything that Jesus did in that moment is so that we could not only stand in 2024 for given, but that we could stand in 2024 healed in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet. Jesus has healed us from our sins and our sickness. Jesus has healed us from our sins and our sickness. My last statement for tonight. I believe because I have 2020 vision now that, and I haven't talked about it in a long time, but in 2004, I was diagnosed with gout. For those of you who don't know what gout is because you're young. I didn't know what gout was, but I was having extreme pain in my thumbs, in my big toes, in my elbows. My hands were locking up where I couldn't straighten them out, couldn't hold a pencil. Went to the doctor and they said, you've got severe gout. And they said, we will live long enough to see you in a wheelchair and it will probably be before you're 30. They gave me a prescription. I listened to doctors. I got that prescription filled. When I went down to get the prescription filled, insurance would not cover hardly any of it. And it was going to be, I think, $1,500 a month. And I said, the devil is a liar. I want to be healed, but I'm also cheap. Praise God. I went home with that prescription bottle. I took the first dose of that and I went into the room. Mandy said, what you gonna do? Remember, Mandy was 17 at the time, 18 at the time. I was 21 at the time. I said, I'm gonna go in here and I'm gonna pray. And I'm gonna pray as long as I need to until I feel like I've been healed. And when I come out of this room, I am gonna be healed. I am gonna be well. And I'm never gonna have to take another one of these pills again. We're not gonna pay $1,000, $1,500 a month. I'm not gonna be in a wheelchair. That's not what you signed up for. I know you said in sickness and in health, but you don't wanna be wheeling me around. Not at 30. I should have brought it out tonight, but I didn't know I was going to give you this testimony. I got the pill bottle in my safe. Every time I open up my safe, I look at that pill bottle and I remind the devil, you are a liar. You are defeated. Every time I look at that pill bottle, I'm reminded God is a miracle working God. Not only did He forgive me, He has healed me. I say that because I am grateful for what God has done. But here's the quote of the night, if you like taking notes. Not only every sickness that you've been healed from, every sickness that has not even happened to you yet has been paid for. What the devil has planned for your body in 2027, Jesus said, already took care of it. What the enemy has planned for you in 2035, Jesus said, hey, it's already been done. You know what? The devil just hopes you don't know it's already been done. The devil hopes that you don't understand the power and authority that Jesus gave to his disciples, us, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. I am here to tell you, Jesus saved you, but Jesus healed you. And it's time that we walk in healing, talk in healing, live in healing. Two of the greatest women of this church, Natasha and B. Salazar, in this altar. I've known Sister B for almost 40 years. She is a woman of God. What God said in Exodus is true for her, that God is bringing healing and health to your house in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it is God's will to heal. It is God's will to touch your legs, to touch your back. It is God's will to bring balance into your nervous system. It is God's will right now, touching her body, God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Natasha, in the name of Jesus, I know you don't declare the sickness, and I've talked to you. We declare the healing and health of the Lord right now. A physical healing is being made manifest. God has something for you to do the next 50 years, and the devil wants to stop you to stop it, but I'm here to tell you, you will live and not die. And not only going to live, you're going to live well in the name of Jesus. Healing, health, wholeness. Jesus, you saved us. Jesus, you healed us. Jesus, you were wounded for my sin, but Jesus, you were bruised for my healing. You bled for my sin, but you bled for my health. I'm done. I've taken too much time. I'm done. Let's fill this altar. If you need healing, if you need healing in your body right now in Jesus' name, come to this altar. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. Sister Tammy and Brother Kevin are getting anointing oil on their hands. Michael and Reba are getting anointing oil on their hands. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. The anointing is just a symbol in a illustration of God's spirit, God's hand on you. Sister Reba right behind you, once she showed up, the last shall be first in Jesus' name. Healing and health. If it's a physical healing, get to this altar. Let's pray. I want to talk to somebody that's been having mental issues. And I say issues, not in a derogatory way, but PTSD. There's fear, there's anxiety that shows up that is crippling you. Night terrors, night sweats, insomnia, not being able to sleep. It's gripped you. But I'm here to tell you the devil is defeated. And we're going to pray the mind of Christ be delivered unto you in Jesus' name. We're going to pray that you strap the helmet of salvation up underneath your chin and never take it off. The mind of Christ, praise God, be formed in you. I want to talk to somebody that's suicidal. I want to talk to somebody that's depressed. It is a mental and a spiritual battle that is beginning to take its physical toll on you. But in the name of Jesus, depression must bow and it must leave. If you're watching online today, on the other side of that red light tonight, on the other side of that screen, put the gun down in Jesus' name. Put the pill bottle up in Jesus' name. Put the razor blades up in Jesus' name. You're not going to die. You're going to live in Jesus' name. The devil wants to take you out because of what you're carrying. The devil wants to take you out because of the promise that God has put in you that is coming out in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Spirit of God be resurrected in that woman and in that man. You let us know. Call us. Message us. We're going to send some help to you in Jesus' name.